Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Okay, well, let's look in our Bibles to 3 John chapter 2. And just a pre-Christmas word. A pre-Christmas word. I know on the 23rd it's all going to be about the gospel and quite a short word. Not that this one's going to be long, but I just really been praying for you, for your Christmas time, for this season. Because I know that, we most of us have a holiday. We have a break coming. How many of you have a break coming over Christmas? How many of you don't have a break coming? You're all working, of course. Lawrence is working Christmas Day. You're working. Okay, well, we can pray for you if you're working. But most of us have time off. And hopefully you guys will get time off in the middle or before. But sometimes we come into holiday time and rest times without the right frame of mind. And it's almost like we need to come into rest in the right way. I think there's an anointing and there's a grace and there's a teaching that comes from God's word about how to rest. Sometimes I think we know all the answers about rest. Well, you just sit on a sofa and press a button. And don't copy the Asda advert, but that's enough. Okay, let me tell you what the Asda advert is. The woman, okay? Asda, there's been an uproar about this Asda advert for Christmas. So the dad and kids are after the Christmas meal, are sitting on the sofa. He's pressing a button. The woman, her hair's up like this. She comes in, takes a penny off, thinking, I made it. I've done another Christmas. And the husband turns and changes channel and looks over his shoulder, says, what's for tea, love? Now, for a godly man, that is ungodly. Because we're all servants. It has wound the nation up, and when I saw it, I thought, that's not the heavenly pattern. Because the pattern is Jesus, who came to serve others. Anyway, but Christmas, there's a biblical mindset, there's a biblical way to do rest. To have time with family, to have time off your normal working life. And I think it's so important that we seize the opportunity. Rather than just kind of go through a calendar, do Christmas as we've always done, or come into Christmas with the wrong mindset. I think we should come in with the right mindset. And I believe that's what God has put on my heart for the word this morning. And in 3 John chapter 2, this is what I've been praying for you and for all of us, and it would include me. And this scripture says, beloved, and that's already good because we are. We are beloved. God loves us and we're to love one another. We're the beloved of the Lord. I pray that you will prosper in all things and be in health. Just as your soul prospers. Beloved, I'll just say that again. I pray. This is Paul. He's taking the will of God, which is prosperity and health and soul prosperity. I just want you to understand there's a connection of soul prosperity to you actually having a good Christmas. I pray that you will prosper and be in health. I'm looking at all of you and this is what I'm praying for you. Just as your soul prospers. And so having a prosperous life, a prosperous body that is full of strength and healthy is connected to your soul prospering. And John goes on to say about the joy of seeing those disciples walking in truth. And God's prosperity or God's vision for our life, heavenly prosperity, is always connected with Bible truth. So if we're walking in truth and our thinking is in line with truth, then we will prosper and be in health physically. Your mind can often either bless you, and it will, it'll either bless you the way that you think. If your mindset and your thoughts are renewed, as the Bible says it's to be, it's something that we're called, all of us, to do, to renew our minds, transform the way we think, so that we can actually be in health and have a good rest, have a fantastic Christmas, and be relationally strong in all that we're doing. And that's a great goal for you to pray for yourself and for your family and also for all of us. And that would include your leaders. That we will all prosper and be in health. That we'll come back into the new year because we've had a very prosperous Christmas. And I don't just mean money. Prosperity is having more than enough, being blessed emotionally, physically, mentally, and materially. That every need will be met. And so this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. I believe strongly that one of the signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a prosperous soul. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So peace and joy are to fill us if we're being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the environment of God, is peace and joy. Not stress and misery. And those kinds of negative thoughts and emotions bring down your whole life. And God wants us to prosper being filled with the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we are filled with peace and joy. But also with our minds, our soul is our minds, our emotions and our will being fixed on the right things. A quality Christmas, a quality life. Jesus said, I've come to give you an abundant life. It's the devil that comes to steal, to kill and destroy. I don't believe we are in a time which has been more stressed and more trouble than, well, I think in the history of nearly everybody living here today. The pressures, the trouble, the stress, the difficulties in life, the economy, you know, people are living, some people with the thought, have I got a job next year? Some people are living with, I don't have a job, and they're telling me there aren't many. Some of us are living with health reports that are actually stress-making. Some are living with relational struggles that cause pressure and stress. And God wants every one of us to actually live in the experience of joy and peace. He doesn't want us to live according to our circumstances, but according to His power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe this life is possible for every believer. I don't believe it's unattainable. I believe it's available through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us and us taking care of our minds. Just as your mind will prosper, so you will be in health and live in prosperity. I don't know if you've heard about it, but there is a prophecy, and it's not from God. It's from another kind of religious cult that is declaring that the end of the world is coming on the 21st of December. I don't know how many of you have heard this. Okay, a lot of you. So there's 25 million people in America who've cancelled Christmas. Bless them. There are kids waking up. I've spoken to somebody here. Their grandchildren are waking up in fear because they think the end of the world's coming. Which in some ways, I'm not for declaring when the end of the world's coming because Jesus didn't. He said it's only the Father knows when the end is, but there will be an end. And the word of God, God tells us to be ready for the end. So I'm not going to start saying, no, don't worry, live in peace. I'm like, bring it on. Because if it gets you saved, get saved. Don't put peace on somebody who needs to be right with God. I would use the opportunity for the gospel. I see it as an opportunity for us. The Bible says the Lord is at hand. He's coming again. Jesus is coming back. Definitely, you need to get right with God. Whether it's the 21st of December or the 3rd of January. Or 2025. Get right with God now. And but there's a pressure, there's a torment going on in people's lives, there's a fear that's happening, and this is all of the kingdom of darkness. The devil stirs up fear and torment and distress and anxiety, causing people to lose sleep and to behave in very wrong ways. Stress and pressure changes your behavior. But joy and peace change your behavior. Joy and peace are actually an environment in which God wants you to live and enjoy, but he also wants that joy and peace to spill out on your marriages, your kids, your relationships, your friends. Joy and peace is just, whoa, it's nice being around them. There's no pressure around them. All I experience is joy and peace. Imagine that testimony after you've seen your family for Christmas. And it's good to have these goals that we have, spiritual goals. The word gives us this goal that we'll prosper and be in health in all things. So I do have a word for Christmas. And it's not that Jesus is coming back on the 21st. It's that... Let's just turn to Luke. But get ready because he is coming back. Live ready, the Bible says, and prepare people for his return. But in Luke chapter 12, in the New King James, I'm just going to use the New King James, Jesus says, and this is a word from God to you. Do not have an anxious mind. Okay, Luke 12:29. Do not have an anxious mind. Or do not worry. But I actually want to pull out this in the New King James, it actually says your mind. Don't let your mind take on anxiety. Your thinking. Don't have anxious thoughts. Now, because Jesus is Lord, he doesn't come down to sort of make suggestions. He is saying and issuing a command. Because he's the king of love, but he is also the king. He issues command. And what he says is, do not have anxiety. Do not have an anxious way of thinking. Sort your anxieties so that you live in peace and joy. I believe strongly that a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit won't be anxious and live in, I wonder if, I wonder what's coming. I wonder how bad 2013 is going to be. I wonder how my future is going to end up. Because God is wanting us to trust him and not live in anxiety and fear. Now, I have a testimony from my family, and my younger brother rang me about 3 weeks ago, and I knew that he hadn't been very well, and he's got three children. He's not, you know, he's younger than me, so, you know, he's not that old. You're so encouraging. It's just as well I'm full of joy and peace. And so he called me and he said, because I knew that he hadn't been very well, and he said, I've really had a miracle, but I want to tell you my story. And he's not really sort of big on faith stories. I think he thinks I'm that fringe of Christianity that's a bit, whoa, out there. And I want to be more out there for Jesus. So, But he said to me, about 2 months ago, I began to get really ill. My chest, my lungs. And it was almost like I felt my lungs were collapsing. I went to the doctors and they put me on antibiotics. But I just got worse and worse. They began to suspect there was some real issue going on because of other symptoms that he was getting. So he went in to have an x-ray. And the consultant, when he took his x-ray, he said, come in just briefly. And as Richard was sitting there, he saw the x-ray of his own lungs in front of him. Now, he's quite an intelligent guy. He does a lot of work and research for NASA. So, I mean, me, I wouldn't know what I was looking at, so I'd go, brilliant, what a good set of lungs they are. But for him, he knows a bit more, and sometimes knowledge messes you up, if it's the wrong kind of knowledge. This is the knowledge that will put you right. And on the x-ray, he saw a shadow on one of his lungs, and he left the hospital. I mean, fear hit him straight away. He had an anxious mind from seeing this shadow. And he went home, and on the way home, he was like, my number's up. I'm going to die young. And, I've really got something serious. And he began to think about all the other people he'd known who die young. And his mind began to adopt all one negative thought after another, after another, after another. And he got to home and he told his wife, who was also immediately anxious. And she had an anxious mind. And they decided not to tell the kids because they thought, let's protect the kids, but we need to learn how to deal with this because I'm so anxious. Anyway, he said, physically, it was like he was here in this sort of level of strength. Within a week, he was down on the floor and he thought, this is it, I am dying. Because his mind had adopted the shadow. Anyway, he had some guys at church, and he asked his friends, he said, can you come and pray with me? I need support. So his friends came around, and he began to pray with him. And one of them must have been a person of faith. I tell you, you need a person of faith. If you ever see a shadow, get somebody with faith. Of any kind, whether it's in your business life, family, relationships, get with somebody of faith. So this guy must have spoken the word to him because he completely changed. And he said, I came to such peace. I was trusting God that I was going to live a long life. Now, nothing had changed except his mind and his believing. He hadn't got a doctor's report. He hadn't heard any good news from the doctors. But he'd only heard the good news that is powerful to change everything, which is the word of God. So he heard the word, and it changed him. It gave him a peaceful mind. And so he said, the miracle for me was when I went to see the doctor, I was already full of peace. And the doctor said, no, your lungs are clear, no problem. And he went, what? He said, I saw something, and he said, oh, it must have been a blip on the screen. There was never anything wrong with your lungs. And you know, the devil's a panic artist. Did you know that? He sends fears that are not even true. And he puts them in your mind so that you go... and you start to adopt it, and you go down with it. Which is why Jesus said, do not have a mind of worry. Get rid of thoughts that make you worried about your life, your family, your business, your money, your health, your future. Do not. Tell somebody you've heard God today that you're not allowed to worry. That's it. Not allowed to worry. I believe that, you know, we are endeavoring to keep moving with God together, being filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to do things that he's never done through us before. And we are in exciting days, and I know we're coming up to Christmas, and we don't have to kind of get geared up for Christmas, but we need to be filled with the Spirit for Christmas. Amen. Filled with joy and peace. To go into Christmas full of God. Amen. That's the goal. Be filled with God. But anxiety and worry are like trying to fill a bath without a plug. It leaks out as soon as you, oh, fill me, Holy Spirit, fill me now. But the plug needs putting in. I mean, I remember as a child, I'd turn the tap on, I'd go in, see if the bath was ready. I was like, oh, there's hardly anything in it. It's because I forgot to put the plug in. And if you don't plug the hole and stop worrying, you will continually be emptied of joy and peace and filled with stress and trouble. And it's time to plug every hole. Come on, church. It's time to aim for the things that Jesus says to aim for. Do not worry about anything. Because anxiety and worry attack the life of peace and joy, the life of the Spirit. And they're actually counterproductive to you enjoying your Christian life. And God wants you to have a great Christmas. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, you know, we can, it's amazing. If I went around the room, what you know, what we can worry about, the variety would be immense. You know, somebody would worry about something that you wonder why they're worrying about it. Because it's not a worry for you. But everybody lives with certain things that come up, pop up. Maybe it's because of a bad experience in the past that their memories cause them to worry about what could be in the future. They're living and they're relying on what happened rather than what God says. And I wouldn't live on negative memories for the rest of your life. Chuck them out and fill your mind with God, with the Word of God, because you will be healthy and prosper. Get rid of negative thoughts. Get rid. I mean, have a clear out. Declutter and fill your mind with good things. So important. So what we can see in the scriptures. Look with me to Mark. I'm excited about this word, but because I believe God wants to equip you through this ministry this morning to have a great Christmas free from anxiety and full of joy and peace. Jesus came. When he was born, the angel said, goodwill, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. It's your inheritance, peace. It's your right. And peace initially isn't going to change your circumstances, but it will change you. Sometimes we can't change things overnight around us, but we can be responsible to change us. Yes? I think it's so important that we live with it, rather than going around saying, I need peace here, I need peace in my relationship, I need peace to happen in my job. Say, Lord, I need to be filled with joy and peace. Because that's your covenant with me. It's your will for me. In Mark 4:35, you know the story when Jesus said, let's go over to the other side in the boat to his disciples. And verse 37 says, a furious squall or a storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, these are conditions under which normally it's right to be a bit concerned. So these are real conditions. We see two pictures here. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Do you know that really sometimes used to wind me up? Sorry to be so open, but I mean, they're sleeping. We're drowning. You know, and at this point, it's like, what does the Lord want to teach us through this? What is it about Jesus? Why did he sleep? And the disciples to say, don't you care, Lord? Start to be angry with God. You sent a storm. God never sends a storm. If God had sent this storm, Jesus wouldn't have stopped it. It was the will of God to stop the storm, not start it. The storm was from the devil. But Jesus is in a position of sleep, of trust, of peace. And the disciples are in a position of extreme anxiety. Talk about a panic attack. It was a panic attack in a storm. Now, this is happening to Peter. You could say he's there in the boat with Jesus. And this whole anxiety situation breaks out. And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said, quiet, all peace. And you know, sometimes we're trying to rule our situations and bring peace, but it comes through a person who's actually living in peace that can bring the rule of peace. Because we release what we're living in. So if you're really full of stresses and you say, peace, be still. That's an anxious way of saying, in the name of Jesus, I rule. You understand? But Jesus stood up, having slept, said, quiet. I can imagine the way he did it. He didn't do the kind of stressy way. He just, peace. Be still. Because he was living in peace. The disciples were living in fear and anxiety. And Jesus actually said, where's your faith? Your faith has changed into the circumstances rather than in me. So whenever we get worried, we've stopped trusting God. And we're now trusting the circumstances and not Jesus, who loves us and wants us to rule in life and bring peace wherever we go and deal with storms. Now, Peter shows us that you can change as a disciple. Peter went through the situation and he failed dismally. Jesus corrected him. But if you turn to Acts chapter 12, we see a similar situation of stress and worry and a real kind of assault against Peter's life. Acts chapter 12. Now, Herod, always when you read Herod, there's the devil behind him. Because Satan entered Herod to destroy children. He entered Herod to destroy the early church. When Jesus was born, Satan entered Herod, and he killed all the kids under two in Bethlehem. So whenever you read Herod, you need to know that there's a power behind what this guy is about to do. And Herod arrested some of those who belonged to the church, and in verse 2 it says, he put James, the brother of John, to death with the sword. Then he got Peter into prison, arrested him, put him in prison, and four squads of four soldiers each. So he was surrounded by a guard or troops that you couldn't get out from. And verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was anxious, having a panic attack, stressed, unable to sleep, and didn't know what to do, and cried out to the Lord saying, what are you going to do about my circumstances? Does your Bible say that? Peter was sleeping. Can you see that Peter changed from Mark 4 to Acts 12? It's called the growing up of a disciple of Jesus. We all need to grow up in this, the power of peace. I believe peace is the answer for so many illnesses and difficulties that people go through. And people are unwilling to acknowledge that actually they can do something about it. Peter, facing the death squad the following morning, was at peace. He was sleeping. I call that a supernatural sleep. Imagine tomorrow you're going to be killed by an unrighteous ruler. I mean, it's a miracle to think you could sleep the night before you were going to be killed. And so this is the power of God. God's Holy Spirit is more powerful than the problems we face. More powerful than the tomorrows we might have. And so we need to be filled with peace now. So that our lives are experiencing what Jesus actually came to give us, an abundant life. And not just a stressed out, this is all too much for me, I can't cope life. He wants us to be really experiencing this amazing supernatural peace. We all have pressures. I'm sort of wanting to bring a balance here because, you know, escapism says I need to become a monk, never see anyone, live in a kind of a monastery somewhere so that I don't have to relate to people and so disturb my peace. It's called needing to get over your selfishness and love people. Isn't it? That's not the kind of life Jesus died for. Separatist lifestyle. That's not what Jesus died. He died for community, church. Life together. And we all have responsibilities. You work. You have financial commitments. You have responsibilities to your family, to your children. I've got responsibilities. Probably in some ways a lot more than most of you. Because I'm a leader of a church. I shoulder responsibility. But as soon as that responsibility robs my joy and peace, I need to wake up. There's a right responsibility, but the way I approach my responsibilities needs to be filled with joy and peace, not escape. Some people come to me and say, I want to give this up, I want to give that up. It's too much for me. I'm like, I look at them thinking, do you know what? If you were filled with the Holy Spirit, life would be done in a different way, in a different power. And so it's not that we don't have responsibilities and we don't sort of just say, I just need a quiet life doing nothing. We must all fulfill what we need to do, but in the power of God's joy and peace. His peace delivers us from that anxious heart and mind that troubles us and makes life a drudgery. God wants his people filled with joy and peace. Now, what do we do? How do we handle the anxieties that will definitely, the pressures that definitely come? Turn to James chapter 5, and we're coming into the solution. We've seen what God wants for us. We see that we can change from someone who's anxious to someone who's peaceful. Now we're going to see how. James chapter 3. How do we handle trouble? How do we handle pressure? And verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Full stop. Is anyone in trouble? What do you do in trouble? You should pray. I know that's, you're looking at me like that's too simple. When affliction, pressure comes, pray. Take it to the Lord. Don't talk about it. Don't say, I need to see somebody. Pray. Tell God and begin to start to bring God into that troubled situation. Many times when we get stressed, we just want to talk about it. Can we just sit down? I need to be heard. I need to talk about my pressure. I need to talk about my problem. Now, there is a balance with it because sometimes I believe that we need to share burdens when it becomes too much for one person, as long as they have prayed. Then we can gather around and say, come on, let's pick it up together and see this victory. But if you experience pressure or trouble, pray. So if the turkey's getting burnt or undercooked, what should you do? You feel the pressure coming on? Father, looks like I messed up. Lord, work a miracle. Let this bird come out supernaturally. If you're pressurized in family tensions, because sometimes, how many of you know that happens at Christmas? Children get a little bit overtired. Parents also get a little bit fractious. And you throw an aunt or an uncle in there that doesn't know anybody, or, you know, you could have a recipe for stress. If anyone's in trouble, let him pray. Take it spiritually. Take your Christmas in prayer. God wants you to have a peace-filled Christmas. Pray. Lord, help. Then it says, let me remind you of something. You remember when trouble came to Elisha? You remember that he was bringing the prophetic word and the enemy didn't like it. He didn't like the word of God coming out. And he went to the certain city with his servant. And in the morning, the servant got up and he looked around outside the walls of the city. And he could see the enemy had surrounded the whole city and had come basically to kill the prophet and his servant. And so what I could say was that was a little bit of pressure and affliction happening around that servant. So he's looking out there, looking at all the enemy, and he goes to the prophet and says, "Master, we're going to die." Same old story. As soon as fear comes in, it's always, "We're going to die." See what I mean? "I'm dying here. It's trouble. I can't cope. This is too much." And the prophet says, basically, "You just don't see with the eyes of faith. You start looking with faith and you're just looking at the problem. You need to change the way you're looking at this." And so what did the prophet say? He said, "Lord, open his eyes." Quite a simple prayer. And sometimes, you know, if you're in trouble, say, "Lord, open my eyes. I need to see that heaven's resources are greater. I need to see that you're able to deal with this and that I can't sort this, but you can." So that our heavenly eyes, it's not that you need a set of eyes. You've already got spiritual eyes. But they need to see. They need to be opened, as Paul prayed. So when you're in trouble, pray, "Lord, open my eyes." And as soon as the prophet prayed that, the servant saw the chariots of fire, and God's supernatural army was so much. "There are more with us," he said, "than against us." In other words, the power of heaven is far greater than the trouble I'm seeing. Oh, God. And if you just live with natural eyesight, you will go through life anxious, responding to every circumstance, not able to deal with anything, because all you'll say is, "We're dying, we're perishing, we're drowning, it's not working, nothing's happening, it's not good. But Lord, open my eyes. I can see this is a real situation, but let me see as you see." And as soon as you do that and allow God's light to come into your heart, you will see that you have more on your side than against you. God is for you. And he will work a miracle in that situation. And then finally, 1 Peter 5. Let's just look here. "If anyone is in trouble, let him pray." This is Peter teaching the church through the word of God. It's the word of God, but it's Peter. And I wonder if this is what Peter did that night when he was arrested and put in prison. I bet he did. I can see Peter with four squads around him going, "Right, I humble myself, Father. Let your will be done. In chains. I bow my life before you. You're sovereign. These people are not in charge. My circumstances aren't in charge. You're Lord of my life. I submit my life to you again. Lord, you're good. You didn't put me there in this situation. The devil and evil man put me here. But I humble myself under your mighty hand. Lord, thank you that you're going to lift me up. Whatever happens, you're going to lift me up because you always do. You bring me up. And then he said, cast all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. And I think probably Peter that night would have been like, Lord, I feel so anxious. It might be a painful death. I might be beaten. It could be a terrible tomorrow. But Lord, I cannot live with anxiety. So I'm going to give my concern about tomorrow to you, casting all my cares. If you want to keep your worries, then you can keep them. If you want to give them away, then you can give them away. It's up to the individual whether you get rid or not. Nobody else can pray the cares out of you. Let me just, in the name of Jesus, cares go. It's through prayer you cast all your cares. Little ones, big ones, momentary ones, something that happens tomorrow, Lord, I give it to you. My job, my family, my ministry, the things that you have called me to do, I give them to you because he cares for you. Your heavenly Father cares. He cares about the trouble. He wants to change it. He wants to deliver you. He wants to bring about his rule of peace. I think the recipe, God's way, works. I've experienced it. Some of you guys have experienced it. But we all need to say, I want to prosper and be in health. Just as the word of God says that that's a prayer. So in other words, I need to get rid of my cares. So in other words, I need to cast them once for all into Jesus' hands and say, Lord, you deal with that problem. I can't. You sort that because it's not in my power to change it. I give it to you and thank you that you're going to work everything together for good because you're good. And you always bring about good. When I care and when I'm worried, I'm holding on to it myself and it becomes something that I'm trying to solve. But if I give it to you, you're going to solve it. And your power is going to come in. Then the next scripture, and I think we'll just finish with this because there is an enemy at work. And it says in verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Do you know, an anxious person is not in faith and easily eaten. Come on, church. Anxiety and fear give room to the devil. But if you submit to God, humble yourself, cast all your cares onto Jesus, lose your anxieties, be filled with peace, then you can stand up in faith and say, God is my deliverer. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I resist this spirit of fear. I come against that spirit of lack attacking my life. I come against this thoughts that torment me. Leave in Jesus' name. And in that, you are actually saying to the devil to not be close to you, to be removed from you so that you can live in peace. See, we have authority over the devil, but we cannot have authority if we're full of anxiety and fear. We need to be filled with peace first and then resist the devil. And the word of God promises that he will flee. Your Christmas, it's up to you. But I pray that you will prosper and be in health. As your soul prospers, as your mind, you do not have an anxious mind. And that you will feel, just as Philippians tells us, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of a good report, think on the positive things, the word of promise. Think on good things. And the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Set your mind on good things. It's in your power to do that. If you're not having the best Christmas ahead that you thought you might have, say, Lord, I've got the best presence that I need, and that's you. I can be filled with joy and peace. I can have an amazing Christmas because you are with me. And I thank you, Lord, for joy and peace. And that we're not going to be stressed. We're not going to live like people who don't have a God. We're not going to run around like the rest of the world. We're going to seek the rule of God and see the kingdom of peace and righteousness established. I'm going to do this. I counsel you. I know I'm equipping you to live in a right mindset for Christmas. Particularly on the run up. In fact, let's stroll up, shall we? Let's not do the running thing. Let's say, well, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Say, I forgot your Christmas present. It'll come after. Sales are on. I'll get it cheaper. Just chill. Just definitely plug the gap. Take your cares, put them onto Jesus. He cares for you, and be filled with the Holy Spirit and have a joy-filled, peace-filled Christmas. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186, or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.